This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The University of Michigan Graduate Employees Organization, or GEO, is one of the oldest graduate student unions in the country. Its members have advocated for jobs, healthcare, and other issues during many tumultuous times. Members have been on strike for a week now due to concerns over the university's COVID-19 regulations. On Friday, September 11th, GEO held a community event where speakers discussed their demands and concerns about university response to COVID. Stateside production assistant Catherine Nguyen was there, and she joins us now. Catherine, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
What was the vibe like at the demonstration last week?
Yeah, so it was very high energy. Lots of people were repping the merchandise of GEO, wearing masks and shirts with the logo on it. There was social distancing and lots of speakers at the event. And after the speakers, everyone left the union and headed over to Alice Lloyd, where there's a large dining hall. Alice Lloyd is a dorm and also has a dining hall, and many of the dining hall staff were staging a walkout in solidarity with the GEO.
What kinds of things were the speakers at Friday's event talking about?
Yeah, so they were talking about the lack of testing that's occurring on campus. According to the university's COVID-19 dashboard, there's only been about 3,300 tests that have been administered in the past 14 days. And the total undergraduate population at the university is over 30,000. So many union organizers are calling for mandatory and randomized testing. Speakers were also denouncing the existence of the Michigan Ambassadors Program, which is a program where students or faculty can volunteer to report COVID violations, such as large gatherings without masks. And union organizers are trying to take away the connection for the university to be with the Ann Arbor Police Department. And they are originally going to be accompanying the Michigan Ambassadors when they would be breaking up events that were in violation of COVID regulations. So actually, the speaker of the Black Student Union, Thomas Vance, touched on this point specifically.
The GSIs are mad because their demands are not being met. The BSU, the Arab Students Association, La Casa, and the United Asian American Organizations are mad because the Michigan Ambassador Program still exists. They bug you. Collectively mad. So let's be collectively mad together.
Again, that's Thomas Vance of the Black Student Union at the University of Michigan. Catherine, could you hazard a guess at how many people were there and just what kind of folks showed up?
Yeah, there were definitely over 100 people at the event. It spanned from undergraduate students to the graduate union organizers and lecturers that were there. LEO, which is the Lecturers Employee Organization, also another union on campus, is actually in support of the strike. And in addition to that, residential advisors or RAs from dorms have gone on strike in solidarity with GEO, as well as some of the M Dining staff.
Are there specific concerns that some of those participants had about what's going on?
Yeah, so lots of people were complaining about the inadequate conditions of the facilities where students are forced to quarantine. It's at Northwood, which is an apartment complex on North Campus.
Yeah, and there were a number of TikTok videos I saw making the rounds over the weekend of students who were quarantined there.
Yes, yes, exactly. So they weren't given microwaves to warm up delivered food. And they were being delivered in packages that weren't oven safe. So a lot of people had to eat cold food, and they weren't given bed sheets to sleep with and weren't told to bring bed sheets with them. There's also no laundry at the facilities that they can access. So there are a few concerns that they have. Also, some undergraduate students told me that they were encouraged to fake symptoms in order to receive tests, because the University Health Service only is testing students who are showing symptoms. So Trent Engel, an undergraduate at the University of Michigan, was telling me more about that.
UHS, the University Health System, which is what they're trying to advocate most of their testing and refer students to, They will only accept you for testing if you show symptoms. And they've gotten, actually, I've tried to get tested because I live in a large shared community. And because of that, I've not been symptomatic this entire time, but I've been encouraged by my housemates to fake symptoms in order to get testing because, they did reject me. Faking symptoms, help you get a test. And because of that, you can have a sense of security. So that's why a lot of people do it.
That's Trent Engel, who's been quarantined at Northwood. Our reporting today came from Stateside Production Assistant Catherine Nguyen. Catherine, thanks for bringing us this.
Yes, of course.
Joining us now for more on the negotiations are Amir Fleischman, the Secretary of GEO, and Aaron Markowitz, Vice President for GEO. Aaron, Amir, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Being that this is only the second time GEO has called a strike, it must have been a pretty huge decision. Can you tell us about the specific issues that tipped the scale?
Sure. So there were two big categories of demands that were motivating our action. The first is responding to the university's reckless pandemic reopening plan, their totally inadequate testing levels, and lack of attention to needs of graduate students generally and specific groups of graduate students, such as parents and international students. The second thing is the uprisings against racist police violence going on all over the country this summer. Anti-policing is something that GEO has been working on for years, but seeing the movements around the summer really inspired us and I think galvanized a lot of our members. We really would not have been able to make the progress we have without the work done by African-American activists over the summer.
It's our impression that the classes that GEO members would normally be teaching are just not going forward at this moment. Is that your understanding of how the university is handling it?
Yeah, for the most part.
What were the conversations with the university like prior to the start of the academic year?
Well, we've been in conversations with the university about their COVID response going back to April during the last semester. And over the course of the summer, these conversations have taken the form of informal conversations with HR over the phone to impact bargaining with the entire academic HR team, as well as conversations with the regents. So these conversations centered on issues that they believe were permissive subjects of bargaining. These are typically issues of health and safety as the university sees them, but the university has continued to believe that issues of widespread testing and issues of a militarized police force on campus are not permissive subjects of bargaining. And that's been a major issue for GEO, because we believe that the only safe workplace is a demilitarized one, and the issue of police violence is actually a labor issue. So that was a major issue that came up in these conversations and led to us going on strike.
As you've mentioned, one of the concerns that you wanted to raise right now was this issue of campus police, how they are equipped and how they're trained. Why did you feel like that was an important issue to press the university on in this moment when, frankly, there are a lot of other things going on?
Yeah, so we view our policing demands as inseparable from our pandemic demands. Mm-hmm. They're related really, really clearly in the fact that the university, in this time of, you know, uprisings against racist police violence all over the country, and when comparable institutions like the University of Minnesota are cutting ties with law enforcement, the University of Michigan's actually expanding ties with local law enforcement in a perverse attempt to enforce social distancing.
Could you explain what's going on?
Yeah, so they've started this program called the Michigan Ambassadors Program, where they essentially are requesting students and community members sign up to essentially be vigilantes going around campus and the neighborhoods in Ann Arbor and policing students and anybody else who might be violating social distance. So this is just flies in the face of everything we know about community safety and what is actually expecting to happen. We may remember from back, I believe, in July, the story about Amy Cooper in Central Park calling the cops on an African-American man who was just minding his own business, specifically because she knows that the cops will come and do harm to him based on his race.
So your concern is that community policing, as the university puts it, would adversely affect social gatherings where people of color are present in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. We view this as essentially empowering community members with sort of a license to harass Black and brown students.
The university administration has taken a look at what you've asked them for, and among many other things, has agreed to make public the surveillance testing capacity, as well as the actual number of tests performed. It has agreed to some expansion, although I believe not everything you asked for in terms of childcare subsidies for students with kids, and some more help for international students. Looking at all of their responses to what you've been negotiating about, how far do you think the university has come toward meeting you?
They still have a ways to go. Last Wednesday, our membership voted overwhelmingly to reject their offer because it didn't give us anything on our policing demands, and it did not give us a real expansion of testing, which is one of the main things we're looking for, which is super important for our entire community. And I just want to add that what we're asking for in terms of testing is incredibly reasonable. If we look at comparable institutions like Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, they have approximately a quarter of UM's student population, yet in their first week back, they tested around 10 times as many students. So this is well within the realm of possibility, what we're asking. UM has a lot of money in the endowment. We're in an emergency right now. It's time to dip into that fund and make sure that our community and campus is safe.
Is it difficult to get information right now about testing? How are you finding out what you need to know?
Unfortunately, the university has not been straightforward when it has come to communicating their testing procedures. Thankfully, we have a team of researchers in the union who have been looking into these procedures very closely, and some of our members have actually gone through the testing process that the University of Michigan is currently using to identify outbreaks on campus. And they have found that the testing procedures do not adequately control for selection into treatment. And it's very concerning given their firsthand experiences that the university is not correcting for selection into treatment, which makes it hard to actually know the risk of coronavirus on campus.
The university filed an unfair labor practice charge against the union. Is that going to affect the strike in any way?
We have been in conversations with AFT lawyers and are not willing to sort of discuss that specifics, but we are very confident that we are mobilized and our strike will continue forward in light of those legal proceedings.
I'd also add that we have in our contract provisions about a safe workplace. And I would hope that the university is meeting its expectations there as well.
Can you tell us anything about how the strike is affecting members right now?
Yeah, so I think members are fairly energized. We held a strike reauthorization ballot over the weekend. We had 80% of those who voted to extend the strike for another week. And I think people are fired up about our demands. Aaron and I are out there on the picket lines. It's really incredible to see. There's a lot of energy out there. Other groups on campus are coming out in support of us. We had a letter over the weekend signed by, I think, nearly 600 faculty now. The resident advisors at the University of Michigan are now also on strike over the incredibly unsafe conditions that they're facing in the dorms. Dining workers are also organizing because they're not treated fairly either. This is really turning into a movement.
How long do you think the members can realistically continue the strike? This is an economically perilous time for a lot of people.
I think we're ready to be out there for as long as it takes, because these demands are life and death for us and for the entire community. Multiple University of Michigan workers have already died of coronavirus. Over the summer, because of layoffs at the hospital and increased pressures on the still existing staff there, two nurses died by suicide. This is incredibly serious, and that is why we're on strike right now. I know I speak on behalf of all GEO members when I say that we care deeply about our students, and we don't take this decision lightly. So we're really prepared to go to the mat on this issue.
Are you aware of any university workers' deaths outside of Michigan Medicine?
Yes, I believe that one of the five deaths that I mentioned was of a UM bus driver. Mm.
Do you have any concerns about the university maybe turning to instructors qualified in different ways if the strike goes into an extended period of time?
I think there's always a concern during labor actions that they'll bring in temp workers That said, graduate students are very highly specialized labor that also receives a very low wage. So it's very hard for us to replace us, especially given the current workload it takes to run in-person, hybrid, and online classes. So we are not necessarily concerned that temp labor will be able to overcome the obstruction graduate students are causing through striking.
I mean, at this point, I believe even public schools are hard-pressed to find substitutes of various qualifications for public schools throughout Michigan, so it's easy to see that it might be even more difficult in the university environment. The University of Michigan has been under some pressures in the broader world to do things like bring football back or bring face-to-face teaching back to campus in greater numbers. Do you have any reason to think that there may be financial incentives or political reasons why the university needs to try to show concern for people who want face-to-face instruction, but at the same time, maybe they would welcome a chance to keep things in the virtual world for the time being?
I don't think we can speak to the university's intent behind these policies. What we can speak to is that these policies are insufficient and grossly inadequate to ensuring the safety of our community.
Over the summer, a group of campus unions, including GEO and our sibling union, the Lecturers Union, commissioned a study by Professor Howard Bunces of, I think, EMU, that looked into the university's finances. And he found that the University of Michigan, which has one of the largest endowments in the world, has over $6 billion in unrestricted reserves. So these are funds that they could draw on at any time without any stipulation in order to fund the activities of the campus, to prevent layoffs, to ensure that we have adequate health and safety precautions taking place on campus. My office is in a building called the Haven Hall, which is a really big building. It's kind of like four buildings stuck together. If you walk into the lobby, there is not a single hand sanitizer dispenser on the first floor. Class has been in session. This is the third week. What is going on? There is really no good reason that the university could give for not having these kinds of basic safety precautions in place. They have the money. It's time to use it.
We've been talking with Amir Fleischman, who's the secretary of the University of Michigan's graduate employee organization, and with Aaron Markowitz, who's the vice president of GEO. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us again. It really is nice being able to talk about these issues.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
We reached out to the university for a comment or response to the grad students and haven't heard back as of this broadcast. If we do receive a reply, we'll post it at our website, michiganradio.org. We should mention that the University of Michigan holds Michigan Radio's broadcast license.